From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour will be made on Saturday at Monroe Community College for the third annual Valor Day. And our veterans need this service more than ever. We know there are more than 70,000 veterans in the Rochester metro area alone, many more throughout the Finger Lakes, the Southern Tier. WXXI is a sponsor of Valor Day, which offers veterans a wide range of services. And we're talking about all veterans, active duty or reserve service members and their immediate families. This hour, we're going to explore the kinds of services that will be available on Valor Day on Saturday. And we want your phone calls. It's kind of a pre-Valor Day Valor Hour here on WXXI. Let me first welcome our guest. Kevin Saunders is here. He's an attorney with Nixon Peabody, and he is a veteran of the USMC, the Marine Corps. Actually, I said you're not a former Marine. You are a Marine, sir.
I am a Marine, and an active reserve Marine as well. So every Marine knows that you're never an ex-Marine. So.
Well, that is true. And thank you for your service.
Thanks for having us on, Evan.
Thanks for being here. Patricia Marks is here. She's a retired Monroe County Court judge. She's a member of the Veterans Outreach Board of Directors and a volunteer for the Women's Veterans Initiative. Judge Marks, thank you for being here as well.
I'm happy to be here, Evan.
9 to 1 on Saturday at MCC. Judge Marks, Kevin, what do we need to know about, you know, getting out there, whether you have to register, the timing, everything else? What's going on?
Absolutely. This last year we had about 200 veterans, more than 200 veterans. We had a couple dozen attorneys. We had about 50 service providers. So while legal is the centerpiece, we don't want to discourage any veteran, active, reserve, retired, to come on out and get help with housing, education, employment, counseling, medical, even business needs. We're hoping to at least double that number this year and having 400 or so out at the MCC Warshoff Center.
Okay, and if they want to go, they can show up. You take walk-ins from 9 to 1 on Saturday?
Sure, we welcome walk-ins. We encourage signing up online so that we're sure we have the attorney there ready to serve that veteran.
How can they do that online, Judge?
There is. You got me.
I knew. I've already stumped you.
It's EKUHN at lawnewyork.org, or you can call 585-295-5656.
Do it one more time on the phone number.
Will do. Phone number is 585-295-5656.
Okay, and I want to mention for our listeners, if you're a veteran, if you know a veteran, if you have questions, We'd love to hear from you this hour, and I'm in a moment going to ask Kevin to kind of work with us through the various services and the kinds of legal services and legal consultations that veterans may need. But if you want to call the program, it's toll-free, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. All right, Kevin, let's kind of walk through the various services that will be available, almost category by category. What's going to happen on Saturday?
Absolutely. So the areas that are listed on our flyer, and even those are not the full list. Okay. If a veteran can dream up a legal issue, come on in and we will find the right attorney. We will have screeners at the door. It's on the second floor of the Warshoff Center, as I've mentioned. Walking up and we'll have greeters there and get you to the right person. Immigration and landlord and tenant issues. Can I deviate for really quickly?
Absolutely, sure.
I have yet to find a veteran who has a siloed issue, one issue. And how this Valor Day has come to fruition is this program called One Team, One Fight. It's not a not-for-profit. It's a collaboration in Rochester, One Team, One Fight. Several years ago, several veterans sat down at Starbucks Coffee and said, Rochester is one of its kind. We have the Veterans Outreach Center, one of its kind, best practices. You have the local VA hospital that we all know of in Canandaigua, and so many service providers. How can we streamline the services between them? Because a homeless veteran, why is that veteran homeless? Well, it could be PTSD. He may not be homeless or she may not be homeless once we get them into college. So there's education. And so One Team, One Fight came about where we're all talking. The left hand's talking to the right hand. So, getting back to the legal issues, those greeters, if you will, when you walk in the door, are going to ask that veteran, well, what's your legal need? But is there anything else? Are you interested in education? MCC, Fisher, Nazareth, U of R, they're all here today. And oh, by the way, you rate probably a free education due to your post 9/11 GI Bill, not to mention every single college in the area has what's called the Yellow Ribbon Program that fills in any gap between your post 9/11 GI Bill and what you're going to have to pay out of pocket. So it is truly a one-stop shop when the veteran comes into that front door, meeting any possible need that veteran, what he or she may have, and then getting into the legal, you know, the immigration, landlord-tenant, foreclosures, family law, VA benefits, discharge upgrades, taxes, wills, powers of attorney, employment issues, Medicaid and Medicare issues, and bankruptcy debt issues.
Okay, you mentioned foreclosures as an example here. How does foreclosures as an issue touch veterans in our community?
A veteran could be involved in, you know, may not have a job. ESGR is out there. The veteran could have lost his or her job due to too many deployments. And there's the ESGR, the Employee Service Guard Reserve. They're there to protect both the employer and the employee. They would be there to assist that veteran, say, that didn't get promoted as quickly as his or her peers, who's lost his or her job, and that could have impacted his landlord tenancy. And they're behind on rent, and there's going to be a lawyer there that can help deal with the landlord. And also, as I mentioned, it's not siloed. Those other issues, you know, maybe that person didn't get promoted as quickly as his or her peers due to numerous deployments, as we're well aware of over the last 10 years. It's a rare service member who hasn't been deployed at least twice. And so that service provider would be there to assist not only the landlord-tenant issue, the legal piece, but the employment issue.
Okay. Judge Marks, you want to weigh in on that? Go ahead.
Sure. I think when they came back, they also have been involved sometimes because they had medication issues. They became involved with substance abuse, lost their jobs because of that, or they may have criminal involvement or records that need to be cleared up in a meaningful way so they can get the type of employment they're prepared for. And we have credit counselors on board, too. Credit issues arise. The person comes back from deployment, doesn't have the income, can't come back into the job, can't get the promotion that was anticipated. Foreclosure, bankruptcy, all those issues are not uncommon in some of our veterans returning.
There's also the SSCRA, the Service Members Civil Relief Act, that is out there for a deployed veteran. You can't sue or evict a veteran while he or she is deployed. That may be waiting for them as a welcome home.
Yeah.
You know, not only do you get the parade and the ticker tape and the welcome home, you may be facing a lawsuit when you get back. And
all right, so hold on, because I actually have an email that is kind of on this subject. I'll get to that email in a second, but let me back it up here. The law says you can't be evicted when you are deployed.
Correct.
But I'm sure that happens, right?
The landlord may not be aware of the deployment. There could be lots of reasons they may not be aware, but we want to be sure that the veteran's voice is heard and that is taken care of legally.
But that sounds so predatory of a landlord, and I don't want to color all landlords with one brush.
I'm sure there's
a lot of great landlords.
And it may be an oversight by them as well.
Okay, so point being, it's not always a predatory thing. Sometimes they don't know.
Correct.
But the law protects veterans who are serving.
Absolutely.
What about the spouse? The spouse may not know that. And what's the beauty about Rochester is, and why I call it the best city that's more than 100 miles from a base, is when we all know that if you get deployed and you're at Fort Drum, Watertown is a military town. There are 10,000 spouses that are in the exact same situation as that spouse. Well, what happens to reservists here in Rochester? There's a handful. When I deployed in 08-09, I took about 120 local reservists. There were just 120 wives in the all the way from Canadian border all the way down to the Pennsylvania border. They weren't talking. They weren't getting together. And what's nice about Rochester is we try to bring to bear to that spouse of a deployed soldier sailor the same things that she or he would have at Fort Drum, so that that spouse isn't sitting there saying, whoa, I just got an eviction notice, I'm in trouble, and then contact the spouse in Iraq or Afghanistan who has more important things to focus in on.
My goodness, yeah.
You know, no offense to the housing issues.
Of course.
But, you know, you have these service providers here that are going to tell that wife, that husband of the deployed soldier or Marine, saying, hey, we're here for you. That landlord cannot do that. And, you know, you have to wait until the deployment is over.
Judge, do you suspect most of the time when that happens, you get in touch with the landlord and the landlord says, oh, I had no idea of the law, not...
I would think that would be the outcome once the landlord was confronted with the legal issue. We'd have to withdraw the petition.
Okay, because that brings up a couple of points. But first, let me read Allison's email. She sends an email. Hold on, let me pull it back up. Evan, I suspect we were victims of discrimination. My husband has served, and we were not allowed to renew our lease. I was convinced that our landlord thinks that veterans are unstable, but we didn't know what to do about them. So she views this as possible housing discrimination.
Yes, and that would be one of the issues the lawyers would be prepared to address. I know Law New York has been addressing it aggressively, and they will be present and at the Valor Day.
Okay, and Kevin, you know, if someone comes to Valor Day, they're looking for an attorney. If it's Allison, she doesn't have to have her husband there, for example. She can come. Immediate family can come.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The services
Absolutely.
Are free. And what comes to mind for a possible remedy? And it's harder to know because we don't know her. She sends an email. And Allison, I hope you go on Saturday. But what possible remedies or at least approaches come to mind for you there?
And if Allison, I'm assuming you're listening because you just texted or
emailed
Evan.
Yep.
Look for me, Kevin Saunders, and we will get the right person to answer this. But I don't know the time frame. You don't make a reference of, is it 10 years ago, 5 years ago? We've been in Iraq and Afghanistan for more than 10 years. Let's say this happened right now. One of the Law New York lawyers would presumably write a letter saying, hey, it's been brought to our attention. Now, you'd have to be able to – the difficulty there is you'd have to prove, you know, some behavior that it would lead to this landlord to discriminate. I mean, it's not – this isn't an eviction here. This is not a renewal of a lease. It could be he maybe refurbished his entire apartment complex and the rent may be going up. You know, so there may be more there in the mind of the landlord. I don't know, but Allison, we'd love to meet you.
Yes, and we could at least start the investigation and advise her as to what the next steps would be. We obviously, an issue like that could not be resolved in a single consultation.
And Alex emails the program to say that multiple deployments have made it much more difficult for veterans and their families. Seems like in decades past, it was a single deployment. You could get on with your life. Now there are so many questions, so many deployments. What do you think of that, Kevin?
He's absolutely right. It's, you know, I love this country more than anybody. And to see the burden that is being borne by the family. It's not just the service member. What was stunning to me is I got deployed while my wife was expecting and had our first child. I mean, you talk about bad timing. You know, while I was off, single focus, I was the commanding officer of about 175 Marines in Iraq. You know, you're focused in on the mission. You know, my wife is back in Rochester, New York with our first child. And anyone who has a child, that first one, yeah, you know, you feel like calling up the government and saying, I'm not qualified to have this child.
Oh, yeah. I can't even believe you're letting me walk out of the hospital with this thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And you don't want to leave the hospital,
yeah,
that
right,
first
right.
one. And, you know, here she is by herself. You know, thank God for the support of family. In fact, you know, even like the employer, Nixon Peabody, had my driveway plowed in the absence of me, you know, being gone. I mean, something that had got not crossed my mind. But these multiple deployments, it's amazing that families can even stay together. And then not to mention coming back a changed man or woman. You know, it's hard to come back to where you were, you know, one of the parents making joint decisions and the spouse has now taken over the entire 100% of the decision making and they survived without you. And all of a sudden you're coming back and you're expecting things to be the same, and your spouse is expecting, you know, what's going on here? It's almost like that first week of getting married again, that first year of getting married again, but now you've got kids involved and you know, life experience involved, not to mention PTSD, the possibility of those combat scars. It's a very difficult situation, and that is exactly why I'll put Rochester up against any community. One Team, One Fight is trying to streamline all the processes. Veterans Outreach Center, the VA Hospital, and the Veterans Outreach Center, you can go in there and get directed to anything that you could possibly need. Law New York has a satellite office there two times a week. They're there. Everything's there. It's just getting the word out to these veterans where we can help you in not just that one issue.
Judge Marks, what do you make of multiple deployments and the impact?
We certainly saw it in Veterans Treatment Court and in the criminal justice system, too, that we really had to treat it differently, that we needed to conduct our court proceedings differently. The veteran would come into court and not feel safe in a normal court atmosphere. So it really impacted our criminal justice system as well. Not that everyone who came back got involved with criminal activity, but some did, directly related to some of the experiences they had, some of the illnesses they experienced, some of the debt they experienced when they came back and couldn't recover from. And we had to step up as a court system and do something more. VOC stepped up and did more in providing the types of services. So it certainly has taken its toll. Family law, divorces, custody issues are very often related to multiple deployments as well. So the legal system really, it's important that it be a centerpiece of this Valor Day because we know we want to provide some relief to those veterans.
All right, Kevin, you came here to offer your help for other people, but I want to ask you just a little bit more about your story because you were in Iraq. The first child was born. When was that?
08-09.
Give me a sense for how you focus on your mission without feeling naturally torn, you're wondering about a child. Was the child born before you were deployed or while you were deployed?
The child was born a week before I deployed. I happened to be out at 29 Palms, California, in what's, they call it Mojave Viper, but it's a combined arms exercise for veteran Marines that were in the military prior to 2000. It was CACS, combined arm exercise. Could not get back in time. I was allowed to come and see Hannah for 3 days and then shipped out.
All right, so you see your daughter for 3 days?
Correct.
Then you're gone?
Gone.
Are you feeling guilty?
Oh, absolutely. You know what's crazy, though, about deployments today versus back in the World War II, Korea, Vietnam, is your initial question was, how do you focus on the mission? I think service members are very good at compartmentalizing. The family issue is in a box. And, I have to go out on a mission now, so I'm going to put that family issue in a box and go do this mission. You look at pilots, maybe they're going through a divorce and all of a sudden they've got to get in the cockpit of a $20 million jet and with one slip up is going to kill, yourself and the co-pilot, and they go out and fly that mission. And then they land and they take that flight box and put it off to the side. Now they're dealing on the family
issue. Are you trained to, how are you able to compartmentalize, as you say?
Training over and over again. The difficulty between today versus past wars is in World War II, the Greatest Generation, undoubtedly, they went off for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. And, fill in joke here, if they didn't win, we'd still be over there, right? I mean, they came back when we, quote unquote, won on those two theaters. They would periodically get a letter, maybe once a month, if they were lucky. With today's, I was, FaceTime, they had, I had, visual capacity through, the computer, talking to my wife, every 3 days or so. That makes it a little bit more difficult at times because your compartment, it breaks the walls
down.
See,
I would think that makes it easier, but it's interesting.
That's exactly what I was pitching to my wife when I deployed. I said, hey, look, we'll be able to talk every 3 days.
Yeah.
I think it might have made it easier for her, but, for that veteran that's over there, you have to put on the happy face. You might have been, out on a very serious mission. And then now you have to, what if Evan, I say to my wife, well, I'll talk to you in 3 days. What if I don't call in 3 days?
All of a sudden you start thinking, what's going on?
You're
going
to think the worst, right? And so all of a sudden you're out, you may be on a mission, and what if you're late? It takes your mind off the mission.
Yeah.
Bringing the two worlds to quote Seinfeld, I don't want these two worlds to collide.
Yeah.
It makes the two worlds collide.
How long was that deployment?
7 months. And I want to give a shout out to the Army and the National Guard. I've met several soldiers and National Guardsmen who have 18-month deployments where they will literally, they'll come home for like a week in the middle. I can't fathom that.
Wow.
And to me, I'm not a math major, but if you do three deployments in a child's life and you're doing 18 months, I mean, you're missing a third of your child's life. I mean, that's getting back to your original point of these numerous deployments. Let's forget about all the issues of, you know, PTSD and just coming back in to fill a void. I mean, 18 months times three, and, you know, you only have your child for 18 years, and then they're gone to college. My hat's off to veterans, these deployed Marines, sailors, soldiers. It's incredible.
We've got Valor Day coming up on Saturday from 9 to 1. It's the third annual Valor Day presented by One Team, One Fight. And if you missed it earlier, in our second half hour, we'll talk a little bit more about what One Team, One Fight is and how it came to be. But Valor Day is all about helping veterans and their immediate family members for free. 9 to 1, you don't have to register. It's better for them just kind of get a sense for who's coming and preparing to help you out if you can. And you can do that in a couple of ways. You can email Aaron Kuhn. Aaron is EKUHN at lawny.org, or you can call 585-295-5656. 585-295-5656. Valor Day from 9 to 1 at Monroe Community College on Saturday. It's in the Warshoff Conference Center and the Empire Room. I've got some questions about I've got a question from Joshua on the GI Bill. I'll get to that coming up. And I'll tell our listeners again, if you want to call the program, you can email me, as some of you have been doing, edawson@wxxi.org. You can find us on social media. You can call the program toll-free, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. My guests are Kevin Saunders, an attorney with Nixon Peabody. He is a Marine, and he is a member of the Veterans Outreach Center Board of Directors and the chair of the MCBA Veterans Committee. And Judge Patty Marks is here. Judge Marks is a member of the Veterans Outreach Board of Directors and a volunteer for the Women's Veterans Initiative. Let's get a short break in, and I'll get to more of your questions coming up in just a moment here as we talk about Valor Day. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on the Next Connections. First hour, it's Unleashed the Pet Show. Veterinarians in studio answering questions about your animals. And we'll also talk about the special place that rescue groups have in our community. Then second hour, Rebecca Renee Jones joins us. She's the author of the new book, Broken for Good, Lessons about Losing Her Father Just in Time for Father's Day. We'll talk with you Friday. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and let me work through a few more of the questions that have come in from our listeners. Joshua had a question about the GI Bill and its moderate iteration. Essentially, I think you heard Kevin mention it and just wants to know, what is it now? I think people remember the GI Bill from, well, going back some time, and you did too, Kevin, as well?
Absolutely. So I joined in 1991, and I was at 8th Tank Battalion here in Rochester. So it was a reserve portion of the GI Bill. And, you know, the active duty had, you know, another portion of it. You obviously got more. Well, I don't know, and it was Joshua, I believe. Mm-hmm. Joshua, I don't know the full benefits that you are entitled to. It would depend on how long you've been in the service, and you can actually Google it, and it would be right there. It is the GI Bill on steroids. I can't give you a number. It's got to be 10 to 20 times better. It's
wow.
Ridiculous. I mean, they give you so much more. I know so many veterans that are going to a University of Rochester or RIT, which, you know, $30,000, $40,000 a year for free. And yes, it's not just the post 9/11 GI Bill that's kicking in there. They also have what's called that Yellow Ribbon Program. If I'm not mistaken, every single school in the area has the Yellow Ribbon Program. One of the co-founders of One Team, One Fight is Eric Wheeler, and Dr. Kress, obviously a big supporter of veterans out at MCC. Eric and Dr. Kress are the ones that put together this location. We thank them as sponsors as well. But Eric is the veterans liaison at MCC, which clearly has the most, the biggest number of veterans out there. But you can go to him, and he would be able to fill you in, and you can obviously access online. But to answer your question, the post 9/11 GI Bill is outstanding.
We have a person at the Veterans Outreach Center dedicated solely to GI Bill issues and education issues. So I would, if Joshua has any further questions, I would strongly encourage him to walk into Veterans Outreach Center.
Veterans Outreach Center, or can pop in on
or
Saturday.
Or pop in on Valor
or
Day,
register.
Yes.
Yeah, come out for Valor Day.
Yes.
On Saturday. But GI Bill on steroids, Judge Marks, is that a pretty good explanation?
That's what I'm hearing. Yeah. I mean, it's even available to children of veterans in certain circumstances. It's an excellent benefit and really well-deserved by the veterans who've served us.
And if I come across as bitter, Joshua, it's because I was the pre-9/11 GI Bill, and I'm very angry.
With three girls, yes.
Absolutely.
Euphemistically, it wasn't as beneficial pre-9/11.
That's
right?
Putting it very nicely. Okay. It paid for a couple of my books at St. John Fisher, whereas I'm seeing, and as a commanding officer of the local reserve unit, I used to get a little emphatic and yell and scream at my Marines to get out there and take advantage of this. It is sitting there, and why would you not? And maybe that was just the bitter old man in me because I had to pay for my education as opposed to, you know, just getting a couple books from the pre-9/11 GI Bill.
Kevin, do you think I'm sorry. Well, Judge Marks, go ahead.
I was going to say my husband was a medic in Vietnam, and when he came back, he was on the GI Bill for law school, and it was a decent benefit for Vietnam veterans. But you just missed it right there in the middle, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. My timing.
And so modern veterans now, when you talk to them about take advantage of this, do they occasionally not know that? I mean, is it just a matter of education?
Yeah, I'm going to answer that by getting back to your initial first point, and that's the multiple deployments. Mm-hmm. And what I'm seeing as a commanding officer, you go away for seven months. You go away for numerous tours. What's the last thing on your mind? Is sitting at Fort Drum or sitting at Camp Lejeune, you just want to get out of there. You've seen these Marines. You've lived with them. You've been out in the field with these guys. The last thing you want to do is spend one more second with these gentlemen. You want to get home and see your families. And so, you know, when you're doing the post-deployment briefings, you're not listening. You know, you're catching up on email, texts. You know, I hope this guy shuts up so I can get out of off base. And that guy happens to be the person talking to you about your post-9/11 GI Bill, about your VA benefits. You just want to get out of Dodge. You know, and I hate to say it, you know, and I don't have a story here, but, you know, if you get back and you have a week to do everything before you're out of the military, the military is going to get your rifle, your Kevlar, and helmet. You can't leave with those. What might slip through the cracks are those physical and educational benefits. You know, but they're going to get their rifle. They're going to get their flak and Kevlar because they've got to. But, you know, the veteran may not be paying attention or may not even have had the opportunity to go through these training and these benefit seminars because their time is up in the military.
Yeah. Okay. Well, take advantage. I think it's almost adorable that Kevin thinks 30 or 40,000 for RIT and U of R. What is it, 1999 again? We're talking almost 50 and over 60.
You're right.
But the point is the benefit is there and it is substantial. It is a lot more than it was when other veterans were serving. And it is there. Here's another question online. Wayne writes, great show. Also a veteran of 25 years, retired from the Army. I fully support the veteran services the area provides, and kudos to the VOC. My observation of the situation of some vets is that there isn't enough being done while in the military to prepare for civilian life. On a personal level, some of my fellow vets aren't taking responsibility for their education, health, personal retirement planning. Can your guests comment on that?
I think it goes back. Excellent point, Wayne. I think it goes back to the numerous deployments again. That what, you know, it would be ideal that in your 4-year term tour in the Marine Corps, Army, Navy, that they would give you almost a 6-month buffer in a perfect world of winding down, if you will. Maybe somebody should run for Congress on that platform. You know, I think it'd be a great platform that, you know, you can't be deployed in that last 6 months, and that would be, you know, a time to wind down. Have training, meet with a career counselor. That would be an absolute perfect world. But it's these numerous deployments that, you know, obviously things have slowed down a little bit, but, you know, with things in the world as they are right now, you never know what's going to be around the corner with Afghanistan and Iraq again.
And I think it's true they're not looking forward and doing the type of planning that should be done, which is why I think Veterans Outreach Center is such a great service, because when people are ready to focus on it, there's someone there to help to answer their questions.
Is it possible that for veterans who are understandably aware of this multiple deployment world, that when you're ending one deployment, you may not be thinking of taking advantage of a GI Bill or thinking about other things because in your mind, you're going back. You know, it's almost hard to recharge and restart a civilian life if the expectation is that more deployments are coming. Is that possible?
It's absolutely correct.
That's part of it, sure.
Absolutely correct. I mean, with the battle rhythm, if you will, you know, a battalion comes back from Iraq, you might have 6 months of downtime. And what downtime means is you show up Monday through Friday and you do your, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning to maybe 1600, 4 p.m. in the afternoon. There'll be some field evolutions where you might be out over the weekend. Then that next 6 month is ramping up, starting to ramp up. Or the next 6 to 12 months is ramping up for the next deployment. So, you know, in that 6 months of, you know, this idyllic peace before the storm, the last thing I think you're thinking about is, you know, where am I going to do? What am I going to do in my next career when I've got another deployment in front of me? And, you know, that seems so far away. And I need to mow the lawn. I need to play with my kids. I need to be a dad or mom again, not focus in on something that may hypothetically, theoretically take place 2-3 years down the road when my contract's up.
Well, we're talking about Valor Day, which is on Saturday, and one of the issues that you may have questions about, you know, legal service questions. How many attorneys are going to be there on Saturday, by the way?
I'm not sure the total number. We have at least 30, I think, who have already volunteered, and others in reserve, depending on what we think the turnout will be.
Okay.
And we had to turn people away, lawyers away last year. I mean,
turned lawyers away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not veterans away.
No, we did not.
No veteran
will
ever
not.
Get turned away.
Okay.
In fact, the beauty of this is it's almost an intake because all the service providers will be there. If we don't get your question answered on Saturday, it's not like we take your intake sheet and shred it and see you next Valor Day, you know, at a time and location to be determined. You're going to be handed off to somebody or a person that you've seen face to face, and that person will be accountable to you to get that answer to you, whether it's legal, housing, employment, education, psychological, or medical.
Okay, and Valor Day is sponsored proudly by WXXI's Veterans Connection, among others. I know you've got a lot of media sponsors and people helping publicize the effort, 9 to 1 on Saturday. And one of the common questions that veterans and their families may have is about holding down jobs. I have an email from a listener who just wanted to know about, you know, what the law says about a veteran who's deployed or someone who's deployed and you want the same job. What does the law say about that, broadly speaking?
Go ahead.
You can both. I'll start. Go ahead, Kevin. You can start.
In a nutshell, it says that it's not supposed to impact your career. That job has to be there, and it's not just good enough for you to come back and you have, let's say you have 5 years with the company. When you come back after a 7-month deployment, you're supposed to come back with 5 years and 7 months seniority. Your clock is still ticking, if you will. That's what the law says. And I know the ESGR locally is very active to explain that both to employers and employees. You know, a lot of service members think that it's there just to advocate for them. It's not. It's there to advocate for the employer as well, because we are not near a military base. And that's the beauty of the ESGR to fill in. You know, you had talked about at the outset about the landlord who may not know. Employers might not know that. You know, they don't have a ton of service members possibly that work for them. And so that ESGR representative will let the employer know, hey, look, it looks like, you know, Sergeant Kelly, if you will, has come back and was passed over for promotion. He had more seniority than the person that you promoted. What's going on here?
Okay. Judge, you wanted to weigh in as well? Does that cover it pretty well?
I think it covers it pretty well. I think sometimes the employer has some tax relief depending on the timing and the type of deployment, so that it would be advisable for the employer to get that information as well.
It is a day, Valor Day, presented by One Team, One Fight, and Kevin kind of told that story earlier, but One Team, One Fight is, broadly speaking, what is it, Kevin?
Absolutely. I don't even want to say it's an organization, because it's a collaborative effort. I mean, it's a group of people who have a distribution list, a website that should be back up soon, of six different areas. And what we said was, Rochester is the best place you could possibly live, more than 100 miles from a military base. We have all the service providers, but how can we get all the service providers to be talking to each other? Because, you know, the VA might deal with medical issues or dental issues. Well, it's not just the medical or dental issue. That person might need housing or legal issues. So how can the VA reach out in real time, grab a lawyer, grab somebody like the Veterans Outreach Center that would help with housing? Well, we just thought we'd put together a collaborative effort of every service provider in, and I'd like to call it like the 7th Judicial District, if you will, you know, from Buffalo to Syracuse, all the way from the lake, all the way down to the Pennsylvania border, if you will, all those counties helping out, where it's a collaborative effort of bringing to bear every resource for any issue that a veteran has in his or her life.
We have, the number I saw was more than 70,000 veterans in, you know, the sort of the Rochester metro region, a bigger number per capita than any other part of the state. Do we know why, how that sort of came to be? Is there a reason? I mean, I have no idea why that is. It's a remarkable sort of number of service contribution, don't you think?
I think so. I think perhaps it's because it's veteran-friendly and it's known to be veteran-friendly. Veterans talk to veterans. Their connection is strong, and they probably talk with each other about that it's a community that supports veterans.
You agree, Kevin?
100%. Rochester is the best small city that I could ever imagine. I'm a little biased. I grew up here in Victor, and other than going off on active duty and deployment, keep coming back. And my wife's from here. We're gonna raise our kids here as long as they want to stay here, and I hope they do. But it's a friendly area. Everyone knows each other. I call it 2 degrees of separation. And you know, having talked to the recruiters here, you know, it isn't a heavy lift. I mean, it's obviously it's tough, you know, with all the deployments, but you know, you've got some very veteran friendly areas where people have a very favorable view of the military.
Well, all of a sudden the phones went nuts. So if you're waiting on the phone, we'll get to your question in just a second. One more email question. Hey, it's offbeat, but we said we'd take your questions. Brent wants to know, what does the law say about the draft? Time to bring it back.
It's not saying anything
right now.
Pretty silent, other than the effort to get women to register for Selective Service.
That's it. Yeah, the Selective Service males still have to register, and there's some debate with the opening to combat positions for women, whether they should be required, they meaning women should be required to be part of the Selective Service.
And Judge Marks, where do you see that going?
I expect it'll become, as long as they're continuing to require men to do it, I think they'll be requiring women to do it as well. It seems reasonable.
Okay. To your phone calls, Keith, first up. Go ahead, Keith.
Yes, good afternoon. I came into the program about 10, 15 minutes after you started. I'm a veteran, and my question is this event that's coming up, is coming Saturday, is it geared only towards Iraq and Afghanistan veterans? I'm a Desert Storm vet, and I've gone to some of these different events, and a lot of times what happens is some of the services are only for Afghanistan and Iraq veterans, to the exclusion of many of Desert Storm or other vets, some of the services that are being offered. I've had questions or issues with I had two surgeries while on active duty, my back and my foot, and I've my disability claim has been going around and around in circles, and I've been to the VOC. I talked to Mr. Richardson. He put me off to someone else. They weren't really able to help. And so, although my injuries were acknowledged by the VA, I'm trying to get voc rehab. The job that I currently have is a very physical job. And so, as I mentioned, having had foot and back surgery while on active duty, I'm trying to retrain myself. And I've had a very difficult time navigating the voc rehab process. So is there any agencies or any individuals who will be there this coming Saturday who can possibly give me some insight, direction, instructions of any sort?
Keith, hang on the line. That's a great question. Judge Marks, go ahead.
Yes, it is a great question. I'm glad you called in and asked. We're serving all veterans. So certainly it's not focused on one era. It just happens that's the current news and the current questions. So we would have you come down and you can talk with a lawyer to see if there's some legal remedies. And there'll be other folks, service folks there that may be able to give you some direction with respect to your question. So please come on down, register ahead of time if you can.
And Kevin, I know, you know, obviously the veterans who are experiencing that question about what services are available now coming back from a deployment, obviously that's going to be about Iraq and Afghanistan, as Keith is asking. But the services and the possible legal services are pretty broad here, as you've,
absolutely,
you've mentioned.
The sky's the limit. And if you get a flyer, Keith, it lists about a dozen that you can multiply that times 100. If there is a legal question, come in and we will get you to the right person. It is for all eras, you know, World War II to the present. You know, if I can give a shout out to a terrific group that's part of this One Team, One Fight initiative is Honor Flight. You know, I'll put Rochester up again against any community 100 miles away from a base. Honor Flight, founded by some great, terrific local people, and to include a good friend, Peter Glennon, who's the president now. I've been there to two of the homecomings, and it's if you haven't cried in a while, feel free to go there and help the tear ducts flow, because seeing the Greatest Generation come back, and they're now opening it up to the Korean veterans because there are so few of our most prized possession, the World War II Greatest Generation. So if you know a World War II vet, you bring him or her in, all the way to Lance, a private who just joined the military. In fact, what we're trying to do, and I don't know if the local recruiters are going to be doing it, we had invited a group of poolees, which are people that haven't even gone off to boot camp yet. They were having a pool event, and we were going to try to bring them there to show the poolee, somebody who hasn't even joined the service yet, other than a contract, before he or she even leaves Rochester, this is what your community thinks of you. And we're hoping that they bring their parents, because we want the parents to see that we are the number one community for veterans, and your little kid who's now 18 years old and is going off to the Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marines, or Coast Guard is in pretty good hands in this community.
Keith, if you're still there, I would just say, so you're hearing the message that everyone is welcome and encouraged to come. Have you felt in general that the farther you get away from your service in Desert Storm, that do you feel sort of forgotten in the veteran community?
Most definitely. I've gone to several of these events. The last one I went to was Representative Louise Slaughter has hosted one almost every year. And as a matter of fact, the one that I went to last, I believe it was 2 years ago, at the ROC downtown Rochester, I even questioned some of the representatives from Syracuse University about the program that they were offering and why was it only extended to certain individuals. And, you know, they basically danced around the answer and gave me the, well, it's based on funding, and we're only offering it to Afghanistan and Iraq veterans. And I said, well, okay, I understand that. And I, to know, not by any means to discount, you know, their service at all, but I had no control over what war was initiated. And I'm a veterans rep at my job. And so it was very frustrating for me to try to inform the guys that I work with about services that they are can make themselves available to in the area, whether it's, you know, I get emails from DOC, I get emails from other service agencies in the area, but they don't apply to me. And the irony is I have three or four times more time on active duty than the guys that I'm trying to help, but I can't avail myself of those services. As I mentioned earlier, I had surgery while on active duty. I was initially offered to be medically discharged, but because of, you know, family obligations, I didn't know what that meant. And so, you know, I said no, because I thought, well, if I'm medically discharged, I won't be able to work. You know, who would hire me? And here I am now, years later, and I'm older. You know, these surgeries are starting to, the effect of these surgeries are starting to catch up with me. And I'm trying, as I mentioned earlier, trying to retrain myself. And I'm walking up against a brick wall, a hurdle of some sort, it seems, at every turn. And it's just rather frustrating, to say the least.
Well, Keith, good luck to you, and I'm sorry to hear about the struggles you've had, but certainly I know you're not alone in that, and our guests are saying, come out on Saturday, and you will be welcomed, and they'll work with you, but that's tough to hear, Judge Marks. It's tough to hear because I know, you know, this is somebody who served the country and wants to work, wants to get retrained, so hopefully he'll get some help.
We hope so, too. Kevin and I will be there, so look for us and give us some more feedback so that we can get that back to the people who provide the services and see if we can turn that around.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kevin.
And Keith, I don't know if you'd mentioned that you would only come in 10 minutes ago. I don't know if you had heard my portion where I was expressing fake bitterness about the post-9/11 GI Bill versus the pre-9/11 GI Bill. You can only fight the war that's in front of you, and I've met so many veterans. You know, post-Vietnam to Desert Storm, they may have never left the state of Virginia during their 20 years. You know, and that's not to disparage them. They did what the Navy or the Army, the Air Force, the Marines told them. Or, you know, they stayed at Camp Lejeune or, you know, went out to Pendleton. And, you know, so it seems at times that you can get frustrated as if you were punished. I will say that the benefits that today's soldiers, sailors, and Marines are experiencing are multitudes better, and it's almost the country saying, we understand, we see your point, Keith, that there was a gap, and they're trying to fill it in. I don't know how the federal government can fill in that gap and go retroactive, but what One Team, One Fight and the Veterans Outreach Center is trying to do is fill in that gap. Mm-hmm. You know, I joke with my Marines, because I'm an old lieutenant colonel now, that in Iraq, I joined in 91. In 2008, I opened my first piece of gear that came out of a wrapper that was brand new. So you do the math, 17 years in, I opened my first piece of gear that was brand new. It was a flak jacket. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, everything else had been Vietnam era. Or you know, it was the gear was terrible. You know, and that was passed down to the local reserve unit. And so, Keith, I definitely understand the frustration. What I think, though, is this Rochester community will surround you and try to fill in that gap. And I challenge you, you know, ride a bike, walk, take a taxi, you know, take a bus, get a friend to drive you. Get out to MCC 9 o'clock in the morning and look for Judge Marks, Patricia Marks, and myself, Kevin Saunders. We will get you the VIP treatment out there.
On the question of the GI Bill, Andrew in Rochester wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, yeah, great show today.
Thanks.
I'm a Navy veteran, and I was in at a kind of an odd time from 1980 to 84. And when I got out, I was expecting a GI Bill, and we didn't even have a GI Bill. We had a thing that was called VEAP, Voluntary Educational Allotment Program. They actually took money out of our paycheck towards an education thing, but when I got out, it was enough money to maybe go to 1 year MCC. And so I've got student loans from way back then that I'm still paying. So when I listened, and recently I met a guy in a coffee shop, and he's got out of the Navy 3 years ago, and I was listening to his benefits, and he's going to RIT like you guys are saying, the GI Bill on steroids. And he was actually saying that his benefits weren't that great. And I was like, oh, my God, you got it made. And bizarrely, I was in the one war zone at that time, which was Beirut, Lebanon. So I don't know. My question is this. Do you guys on the panel know of any retroactive GI Bill that goes back to that era? Because from that up till Desert Storm and Iraq, us veterans, we didn't really get anything. So that's my question. Do you know of any retroactive GI Bill that goes back to that period of time?
Andrew, thanks for the phone call. Lieutenant Colonel Saunders.
Andrew, I don't, but what I could say, though, is come out on Saturday and you will have all the schools in the area here. And maybe, I'm not in education. Perhaps some of the schools do that, you know, the Yellow Ribbon Program. May, all caps. I'm not speaking for any local schools,
sure.
But you know, you could talk to some of them, because I'm with you. I don't know if you'd heard my comments. I empathize with you. I had my books paid for. And again, I was grateful at the time for that. And, you know, boy, would I love some retroactive benefits. So, yeah, I empathize. Come on out on Saturday and we can walk you over to all the representatives from all the different schools and see if there's something there for you.
All right. One more quick comment from a listener. It's Bud and Shiloh. Go ahead, Bud.
Okay. First of all, I just want you to say you should spend about a third of the program talking about how good your thing is and left the rest open for people to call in. Now, I was at the library last week, late on a Saturday, and met a young fellow waiting at the checkout. He was a medic. He was trying to decide whether he would go to Florida State or Maryland for his degree so he could work his way to become a doctor. I said, why are you leaving Rochester? You've got the best medical school in the country here. He says, well, it's so expensive. Now, he is obviously not aware of this program. Were these things advertised, A, in the libraries, and B, was there anything put on local television saying, if you are a veteran, you are eligible for education help, and then telling about your upcoming event? That's my question, and in the future, don't spend so much time talking about how good the thing is. Give people a chance to talk. I've been waiting 25 minutes on the line.
No, Bud, you haven't been waiting 25 minutes. I know exactly how long you've been waiting. But I appreciate the phone call, Bud. We've taken all the calls that came in this hour and all of the emails, but... they're advertising it as many places as they can. And I know they've got media partners. WXXI is a proud sponsor. Other media outlets there. That's why if you're on other media just today, these guys have been very busy. Lieutenant Colonel Saunders, Judge Marks, they've been just about everywhere. And they're trying to get the word out. I think to your point there, Bud, we need to make sure people know what's out there. So Valor Day is Saturday, and it's 9 to 1. It's at Monroe Community College. And it's in the Warshoff Conference Center and the Empire Room there. You can register in advance if you want, and I think they would love to hear from you to let them know you're coming. 585-295-5656. 585-295-5656. Lieutenant Colonel Saunders. Kevin, thank you.
Thank you for having us on, Evan. It's a real honor.
Three dozen or so of you and your fellow attorneys will be out there on Saturday with all kinds of questions answered. Thank you so much. Judge Marks, thank you for the work that you do as well. All right, and have a great day, everyone. We will talk with you on member-supported public radio on a Friday.